Good to see you.
You made it though. Yay.
How is
Okay.
everyone?
Good.
Everything's
Sun's
great.
shining, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Did everybody have a chance to go over the minutes and approve? Just a thumbs up if you're good with it.
I found them.
Yay, good. So is everybody good with them? A little thumbs up? Yeah? Yeah? Little, yeah, okay. Moving right along. The agenda review. Everybody happy with the agenda? Anybody like to make any addendums, add-ons? Happy with it? Whoa. Public comments. Do we have any public comments? Do we even have any public? No. Okay. Oh, I'm loving this. Doug, it's your turn.
Janet, I must insert some things here because I sat through 3 hours of how to run advisory committee meetings and do it by the book. Sarah's laughing, and do it by the book, and it was just a delightful time. And you better shape up and be a little more formal.
I'm
I'll just
sorry,
leave
Jordan,
it at that.
I did point by point down the agenda, Tom.
Well, outsiders could be watching, so
This is
be
true.
careful.
This is true. But I did it point by point, straight on the agenda. No deviations.
You go to the meeting for 3 hours next year.
Okay. Doug, may we please have the library director's comments and reports?
Yes, you may. Going to be quick with these. First off, I believe on the agenda, is it under this one or not? The revisions to the behavior policy, or is that farther on down? I'm not looking at it directly right now. It's now. Perfect. Okay. We're going to have Sarah talk about that. What we had was, if you remember when we were all together last with Bill Monahan, we took those comments and incorporations that he suggested, and we integrated those into that behavioral policy document. And that's what you have, I believe, in front of you with the comments that were added to. So the next steps really are to, if you approve it at this stage, we're not approving the behavior policy overall. We're just approving that this looks okay. Then the next step, if you'll remember from what Bill said, we go to CIS, which is our insurance company, and we give it to their lawyers and they make sure it's okay. And then it comes back to us, and then you can approve it at that point. And then we're kind of on our way, unless we want to change it more after that. So that's the process. So basically, what you're looking at now is what Sarah incorporated from our last meeting, and she was so kind to take notes for us. And you want to look it over? If you had a chance to look it over, I think it was sent a week or so ago. If you had a chance to look it over. It should reflect the things that we were commented by the city attorney's office, Ben Bill Monahan, and then some of the questions that came up from the body. I'll leave it at that and take questions. Let Sarah answer questions.
All right, did everyone have a chance to take a look, I wonder? I'd be happy to pull it up if we wanted to take a look at it and do a quick walkthrough. Some of the main feedback that Bill provided was just clarifying language and ensuring that we were just in alignment with, other municipal code or state codes. We were able to add in the Oregon statute on harassment. We aligned with the city's code when it came to the Clean Air Act, and then just clarified for any behavior disturbances that do take place, who is making the ultimate decision on temporary suspension of services? Of course, the library director.
I thought it was really clear and very clearly structured, and it walked a nice line between being too so strict that there's not room for judgment, and but also being really clear on what works for the population of library visitors. for what it's worth.
Yeah, thank you for the feedback, Jan. You have a fresh set of eyes, so that's good to hear from that perspective that it's reading that way.
It was an interesting conversation. The process of going through, I missed a little bit at the beginning, but the relationships he drew between other entities of the city and the county and the state and some things, it did tend to clarify this a whole lot. So hopefully those blended in okay in the document. To this point, I won't call it finished because I don't know if it'll ever be finished. What do we have to do to move forward?
Tom, I think all we need to do is that if you want to just take a motion to send it, or we can take a motion to send it on to our the city's insurance company, and that's just all that needs to happen at this point.
So move.
Would someone second it, please?
Seconded.
Thank you. Okay, got that one put to bed.
Okay, so the other kind of things I want to report on were we're in this really weird time right now where lots of people are getting vaccinated, which is really great. The Clackamas County numbers continue to go up. So we're hoping at some point, if you read recently on Friday, we should be going into the most extreme level in the county. We won't be because a new metrics was put in by the governor based upon hospital beds available across the state for people for COVID. And because they still fall under that number, we're able to then not go into the extreme state. So what does that mean for the libraries? Well, our hope was that we could, as I think I mentioned last month, was continue to take steps forward to reopening. And our next big step was going to be to potentially open up for browsing. That's kind of been put on hold by myself, the city manager, and the public health officials of the county, and recommendations from the state library. We're going to continue to stay open with the doors, still continue to have circulation assistance, reference assistance, pick up your holds without an appointment, and also pick up now book bundles, which we've Sarah and Rick's staff have assembled on a regular basis to keep them fresh. And people are really enjoying that, being able to just grab a bundle of something that seems to be interesting to them, that has a theme and has been curated, whether it be for children or adults, and across the library mediums of materials. So that's great, and that's been well received. Our numbers are going up as far as people coming to get our holds, so that's great. We would like to open up for browsing. That's not gonna happen until we can get back down to moderate. So that's just one of our hopes. We're not there yet. We think that it will trend that way as more people are vaccinating and herd immunity becomes more out there for all of us. I think we have over 34% in our county that's been vaccinated now, I think the last number. So, or have had one or two of the shots, or one would be just one if it was Johnson & Johnson. So it's getting there. So we're just hoping that we can get those numbers down so we can continue to open our facilities. We were able to kind of be able to save money this last year for lots of reasons. We've been trying to save money every year. And we were able to convince the city to help us to use some of those resources to get some new furniture. So this is an opportunity to kind of take some of that furniture that was fresh and nice 20 some odd years ago, that's not so fresh and nice anymore, and be able to recycle it and get in some different kind of furniture that's easiest for us to clean from COVID, and also that's more comfortable, and hopefully we'll just freshen up the space. We're also gonna be changing out some of the desks in the main reading room area, if you wanna call it that, to allow for smaller desks, small all black wood desks that will be easier for people to, you know, if you've ever been in there and you've noticed, sometimes someone will sit down at a table and there's really four chairs around that table. But once somebody sits down, if they're by themselves, no one's going to share the seat, or very, very rarely is someone else going to sit down next to them and say, do you mind if I study here next to you, if they don't know them or they're not part of their library party, if you will. So we want to be more reflective of individual studies and maybe group study of two. We've sourced some wood tables similar to the ones we have now, all solid wood to bring in so we can kind of accommodate some more people so that it gives them the opportunity to potentially study in that area and still have more people coming in there to study if they would like, as well as some other tables. So some new chairs, not in that area, but the more sitting chairs, and also some more tables. And we're also going to be replacing the reference desk up at in the main area and create some new features on that have similar to the one we have downstairs in the youth services area. We'll have a lot of the good features that we have in that one incorporated into this one. Hopefully being able to provide a little bit better service for those that have ADA disabilities and be able to see folks and be able to see potentially information from a technology standpoint that we will be talking to them about. So those are the two other things. We'll be at the stage tomorrow to be back with our computers to be able to, we're not going to turn them on just yet for the public, but we'll be at a place where we can start to roll out potentially some computer time on the computers. We're probably going to do that in a soft, really soft way, if you will, meaning we won't make a big broadcast about it. People will make announcement for people that do come into the library. There'll be signs that you can, you know, if there's available computer and time, you can sign up for it. Half hour increments. There'll only be four, so one on each of the rows so we can have the social distancing. And then a second half hour if nobody else is, you know, signed up and waiting for it. So that gives some people that come in, if all four are being used, they wouldn't have a whole long time to you have to wait around to potentially get onto a computer. We're not going to be doing that right away as well, but that will probably be our next step before we open up for browsing to everybody. So those are kind of things that we're working on. We're also potentially working on one other thing for an equity component, and that's creating and acquiring a panel of 16 smart lockers, which would go outside by the returns, where we could then put people's books that couldn't, or library materials that aren't able to come in during our normal hours, that have opportunity to then place their holds and have them put in that, in those kind of like the Amazon setup that you've, lockers that you've probably seen at various places or used, and then get a code, send a code. Code will then go in and the dot locker door will open and you can get your materials. We're in the process of sourcing that, and I think we'll have the resources hopefully to be able to add that to our to some of the offerings that we have, and also give people a lot of opportunity to come in and be able to use that component of our library away from the normal 29 hours that we're open right now for the public to come and get their materials.
So, I love that idea. That's pretty brilliant. That's just great.
Thanks. It's not been done in the county, and it's been rarely done, if at all, in the state. So there's a company out of Sacramento that does them and produces all of it in-house and makes them all in-house. So we're kind of excited about that, and camera systems and software systems as well with it. So it's come down so much from when we first looked at it about 4 years ago. I mean, it's dramatically reduced in pricing to be something that we could actually probably afford to do with the kind of the block furniture money that we've been able to put aside for some of these small renovations.
Any worries about vandalism or?
Sure. Yes. This has a 24-hour camera system on it that they monitor as well, which we'll have full access to see if there's anything like that happens. And it's fully lit up with LED lights too. So in the case that they are vandalized, we would hopefully have some ability to kind of see what happened and why it happened and who might have done it. So we're not seeing that happens all that often. You know, our big crime problem in West Lynn with libraries was people backing in and taking out our library book drops at sunset, which the last one finally just completely destroyed it, so we don't have one there. So we'll keep this away from the areas where cars might be backing up or into, so hopefully that will help. So the other thing I would like to just bring up and in closing is we appreciate all your support. There's one thing I'd like for you to think about going forward that we can talk about next month. As we anticipate moving forward and as we anticipate reopening and everyone's excited about when we can do that and kind of come back to pre-COVID conditions or whatever that's going to look like, it gives us a real opportunity to kind of think of as a library and as a library advisory board, do the hours that we're open to the public, you know, we're committed to the 58, but they don't necessarily have to be the same 58 that they were before. There seems to be a lot of folks that are interested in potentially us being open a little earlier on the weekend, especially Saturdays, where we're normally opened at noon. Now we're open at 10 to do this, to come pick up your holes, and that seems to be well liked. But I'd love for you all to think and talk amongst your families and your friends about, you know, library times. We also have some pretty good statistics that would say from our pre-COVID time, when people use the library the most and what they don't. And so trying to align those so that we can keep them fairly even so that we have people coming in and using the libraries during the times that we're open and we're, you know, we don't have a lot of time when we're like, well, why are we open here? We don't have that many people, and figure out why the reasons are around the why. All that under the umbrella that is this gonna be a new world, right? And we don't exactly know how people are gonna use libraries. Hopefully they'll use them in the more traditional ways like we have in the past. But also, we know these are times to explore these kind of things and kind of do some trial and error. So I'd love for you to all think about the hours and when it works out best for you and your situations, when it works best for your friends and your family, and kind of have a discussion. And we'll put that on the agenda for next time if that's okay with all of you.
Sounds great. Thank you, Doug. So that sums up everything you have to tell us, right, Doug?
Basically, yes.
Thank you. The foundation, do we have a foundation? I did not attend the last meeting. Was someone else there who could tell us what's happening?
You want to, Jan, or do you want me to?
Sure. Well, I can pull up my notes, but it'll take me a minute. Do you want to go through it and anything?
Sure. I think that the main thing is this last day they had their first, if you will, fundraising during COVID, where they tried to put together some book bundles. They were successfully able to put together a few where they offered them to people to be curated for $25, and they got 5 books. And they just last night, in fact, they came and they used the bookstore and some of our donations, and they get curated and put those book bundles together. It was Kirsten Wyatt and Allison Reed and Aaron Patterson, who are all in the foundation, that were part of that. And they made these beautiful packaging. They sewed, it wasn't wrapping paper, it was a sewed fabric kind of sleeve for all of these things. It was quite ornate and beautiful. And then they went and delivered them to those folks that had acquired those or purchased them. So that was just kind of like, how do we get our feet wet and get going on things like that? So that's really great. And they're obviously looking forward to and talking about with us how we can get the volunteers back and get the, you know, once we do open for browsing, it makes logical sense we would open up the bookstore again and how that's going to all work.
And then I think the final thing is Sarah and I are meeting tomorrow for the scholarship interview. Sarah, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We have our Holly Grace Jones Endowment Scholarship to award this year, and it looks like we have one potential applicant, and that's available to any student, graduating senior within the Westland Wilsonville School District who has volunteered on our teen advisory board for 2 years or also contributed other volunteer service for libraries. So yeah, we look forward to that. And Holly's mom, Denise, is going to be involved in meeting with us as well.
I'm really looking forward to that. I just think it's such a wonderful tribute to her daughter. And, you know, it's such an exciting time for high school seniors, COVID or not. So I'm feeling pretty privileged to be part of that.
Yeah, thank you, Jan, for contributing.
Okay, that sums up the foundation, which is awesome that they're doing things in this time. Do we have any comments from the board? No comments? No one wants to say anything? Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second?
Yes, seconded.
Done. Okay, thank you all for coming and sharing your time and moving forward. Staff, thank you so much for all the work you guys do. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Janet. Good to see you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Friday at 10.